Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Tuesday, November 15th. I'm reading from the New International Version for the book of 1 Samuel and the book of Hebrews, and then we'll turn over to the New Living Translation for the book of Psalms. We pick up in 1 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 21, and we'll read through the entire chapter 7. Remember yesterday, the Philistines send the ark of God back toward Beth Shemesh. And today, the Israelites are going to send the ark to Kiriath Jearim, which is about 10 miles away from Beth Shemesh, and it lands there for about 20 years. Here's the story. Then they sent messengers to the people of Kiriath Jearim, saying, "The Philistines have returned the ark of the Lord. Come down and take it up to your town." So the men of Kiriath Jearim came and took up the ark of the Lord. They brought it to Abinadab's house on the hill and consecrated Eleazar, his son, to guard the ark of the Lord. The ark remained at Kiriath Jearim a long time, 20 years in all. Then all the people of Israel turned back to the Lord. So Samuel said to all the Israelites, "If you are returning to the Lord with all your hearts, then rid yourselves of the foreign gods and the Asherites, and commit yourselves to the Lord and serve him only. And he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines." So the Israelites put away their Baals and Asherites and served the Lord only. Then Samuel said, "Assemble all Israel at Mizpah, and I will intercede with the Lord for you." When they had assembled at Mizpah, they drew water and poured it out before the Lord. On that day they fasted, and there they confessed, "We have sinned against the Lord." Now Samuel was serving as leader of Israel at Mizpah. When the Philistines heard that Israel had assembled at Mizpah, the rulers of the Philistines came up to attack them. When the Israelites heard of it, they were afraid because of the Philistines. They said to Samuel, "Do not stop crying out to the Lord, our God, for us, that he may rescue us from the hand of the Philistines." Then Samuel took a suckling lamb and sacrificed it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered him. While Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. But that day, the Lord thundered with loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such a panic that they were routed before the Israelites. The men of Israel rushed out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, slaughtering them along the way to the point below Beth-Kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shin. He named it Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." So the Philistines were subdued and they stopped invading Israel's territory. Throughout Samuel's lifetime, the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines. The towns from Ekron to Gath that the Philistines had captured from Israel were restored to Israel, and Israel delivered the neighboring territory from the hands of the Philistines. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. Samuel continued as Israel's leader all the days of his life. From year to year, he went on a circuit from Bethel to Gilgal to Mizpah, judging Israel in all those places. But he also went back to Ramah, where his home was, and there he also held court for Israel. And he built an altar there to the Lord. In the sight of the ark's return, the people of Israel decide that they want to follow the one true God with all their hearts. It's a beautiful scene. Samuel says, if you want to follow God with all your heart, you've got to rid yourself of your idols and commit yourselves to the Lord and serve Him only. And then He will deliver you. And that's exactly what happens. The Philistines come to fight them, and they are defeated by the hand of God through the army of the Israelites. Then Samuel, after the battle, takes a stone and sets it up between Mizpah and Shin. And what did he name it? Ebenezer. Every time we sing that song, Come Thou Fount, I have to remember. Now, what is an Ebenezer? And this stone, named an Ebenezer, is a reminder that thus far, God has helped us. So it's something that we can set up in order to remember what God has done. It is the reminder of the Exodus, that God parted the Red Sea, and then He dumped it back on Pharaoh's army. It is the reminder of Sihon of the Amorites, that though Sihon was mighty, by God's powerful hand, they were defeated and Israel prevailed. Here's the verse in Come Thou Fount that mentions the Ebenezer. Here I raise my Ebenezer. Here by thy great help I've come. And I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Psalm 15 is a beautiful psalm. As I read it, I think about Jesus as the truest fulfillment of this psalm. But this psalm is for us as well, because we are able to enter into the presence of the Lord. And this psalm is a challenge to us, because we have this great gift of being in God's presence. This psalm reminds us of what our lives should look like now that we do have this great privilege. Who may worship in your sanctuary, Lord? Who may enter your presence on your holy hill? Those who lead blameless lives and do what is right, speaking the truth from sincere hearts. Those who refuse to gossip or harm their neighbors or speak evil of their friends. Those who despise flagrant sinners and honor the faithful followers of the Lord and keep their promises even when it hurts. Those who lend money without charging interest and who cannot be bribed to lie about the innocent. Such people will stand firm forever. Now let us turn to Hebrews 11. We'll begin in verse 13, and this is a section where the faith of different saints is highlighted. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead, and so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshiped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions concerning the burial of his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child. and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the application of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after an army had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released, so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us they would be made perfect. The theme of better resurfaces again today in the book of Hebrews. All those who by faith longed for something that they could not see, this unseen reality of God at work in their midst, they knew that something better was to come. They looked forward to a heavenly city where Jesus, our Lord, reigns at the right hand of God the Father. Will you pray with me? Thank you, Lord, for Jesus, in whose name we pray all these prayers. He is the one who is fully able to enter into your presence. And now, because of his work on the cross, we are able to enter. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to be more like him, that we would be a people who strive to live according to your word. Thank you, Lord, for the picture of a turned heart in the book of Samuel. Help us to be a people who rid ourselves of any idols, and we seek you with a pure heart. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.